Today's shiur is Masechta Megillah Daf Yud Zayin, and we will begin on Daf Tez Zayin Amud Beis, 7 lines from the bottom. In the previous shiur, we had learned at the end of the shiur that Mordechai was Rotzui L'Roiv Echov V'Loi L'Kol Echov Melamed Shapirish V'Menem Miksa Sanhedrin. We explained that some of the Sanhedrin had separated themselves from Mordechai because now he had become an important minister in Achashverosh's government, and he had not spent so much time learning, and that's why some of the other members of the Sanhedrin were dissatisfied with his approach. Says the Gemara as a follow-up to that. Amar Rav Yosef, Gadol Talmud Torah, Yotzei Metzolos Nefashos. Learning Torah is even greater than Atzolos Nefashos. The Mikara, at the beginning, Choshev Leila Mordechai. Mordechai is mentioned Basa Dalit after 4 members, 4 Zakenim, Ulub Soif. After he became a minister, he's mentioned Basa Chamisha. The pasuk only lists him after 5 Zakenim are mentioned. Mikara Ksiv, originally it says in the pasuk, Ashabam Zubavel, they came from Zubavel, Yeshu Nechemias Roya Ra'alya. Mordechai Bilshin. So Mordechai Bilshin, whose Mordechai is listed 5th after 4 Zakenim. Why is he called Mordechai Bilshin? Because as we learned in the Megillah, Mordechai was an expert in all languages. That's how he was able to understand what Bixen and Seresh were plotting against Achashverosh. So he's called Mordechai Bilshin. Upsoif, however, at the end it says, Haboim Zubavel, Yeshu Nechem Yezayu Ra'amya Nachmani Mordechai Bilshin. We said he's only mentioned after 5 Zakenim, he sort of speak had a demotion. The Mefarshim ask, the Shulchan Aruch says that Hatzolus Nefashos is more important than anything else. In fact, the halacha is, says the Shulchan Aruch, if money was raised for a specific cause, for a yeshiva or any other tzedakah cause, and the situation of Hatzolus Nefashos comes up, that money, even though tzedakah money normally may not be diverted from one purpose to another purpose, for Hatzolus Nefashos it may be diverted. So we see how important Hatzolus Nefashos is. Yet here our Gemara seems to be saying that Gadol Talmud Torah Yoytz Hatzolus Nefashos. So the Ben Yoyada's approach to our Gemara is that certainly during the time when Klal Yisroel were in danger, Mordechai's obligation was to go do whatever he can to save Klal Yisrael. However, after the threat of Haman passed, Mordechai should have gone back to yeshiva. Why do we find, says the Ben Yoyada, is the explanation of the Gemara, that Mordechai is still a minister? That's why the Gemara, so to speak, has an issue with Mordechai. However, the Taz says that even though certainly there's nothing more important than Hatzolus Nefashos, however, the greatest mitzvah that one can do is learning. So if one is not learning, he's losing out that opportunity. And the Samsofa takes it a step further. He says, certainly, again, he reiterates, nothing more important than Hatzolus Nefashos. He says, but why from Shemayim did they appoint you to do Hatzolus Nefashos? Why from Shemayim did they take you out of yeshiva? Isn't that there's a question on the quality of your learning? And that was what the Gemara meant regarding what happened with Mordechai. Omer Rav, B'tayim Rav Shmuel Bar Marsa, Gadol Talmud Torah, learning is greater than Yosef Binyan Beis Hamikdash. She calls man Baruch Manir Kaim, as long as Baruch Manir was alive, Le'nich Ezra V'Olah. We know Ezra is the one in the time of Kairish that went up and rebuilt the base Hamigdash. Says the Gemara that did not happen until Baruch Beniria, his Rebbe, passed away, but as long as his Rebbe was alive, he stayed with his Rebbe to learn Torah. Ask the Tori Evin, how do we know that Talmud Torah is greater than Binyan Beis Hamigdash? Perhaps they're equal, and that's why Ezra chose to stay by learning and not going to Beis Hamigdash. How do we know that's even greater? So Turi Evan answers that in building the Beis HaMikdash are involved 2 mitzvahs. One is the mitzvah of Binyan Beis HaMikdash, and the other is the mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. So if it was a situation that Binyan Beis HaMikdash was equal to learning, he should have gone to Eretz Yisrael and also had the mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. The fact that he stayed learning by Baruch Ben Neriah is a proof that learning is greater. The Baruch Tam has different approach. He says, when a person is faced with doing two mitzvahs that are equal, and he doesn't know which one to do, he says the one to do is the one that involves an action, that involves an exertion. Going to build a Beis HaMikdash is certainly much more of an exertion than just staying in yeshiva. So if they were equal, Ezra should have chosen Binyan Beis HaMikdash. The fact that Ezra chose to continue learning is a proof that learning is greater. Learning Torah is even greater than Kibbutz Aveim. Shekol Oisim Shonim, Shoy Yaakov Avinu Beis Aver, all the years that Yaakov was in Beis Aver, which the Gemara will point out when that took place, for those years he wasn't punished. And as the Marsha explains, originally the yeshiva was the yeshiva of Shem Ve'Aver. However, at this point that the Gemara is discussing, when Yaakov was attending this yeshiva, only Aver was alive, no longer was Shem. The Amar Mar, so the Gemara develops this proof. The Pasuk says, the Gemara asks, Lama Nimlu Shnaisu Sheshmal, why does the Pasuk have to mention how many years Yishmal lived? Wasn't he a Rasha? And as the Mashal explains, even though we know that Yishmal, towards the end of his life, did do tshuva, it wasn't a tshuva mehava. It was only a tshuva meira. He feared God, and therefore the tshuva. So the years that he was doing averus are still considered years of avera. So why are these years so significant that the Torah should mention them? The only reason they're mentioned is to differentiate, to teach us how Yaakov's lifespan and what he did during the various years of his life. And as the Sifsei Chacham points out, we want to show the contrast between Yaakov and Yishmael. And the way we show that contrast is by showing what Yaakov did with his life versus what Yishmael did with his life. The Ksif, Ve'ele Shnei Chayi Mei Yishmael, Mei Yishana Shlon Shoshana V'Sheva Shana. Yishmael lived 137 years. Kami Koshish Yishmael Mi Yitzchot. Continues the Gemara. How much older was Yishmael from Yitzchak? Arbeis Hashnin, 14 years. How do we know that he was 14 years older? The Ksiv, Vabom Avram, Ben Shmanim Sham V'Shei Shonim, Beledes Hogres Yishmael Avram. Avram was 86 years old when Yishmael was born. The Ksiv, and the Apostle also says, Vavram Ben Ma'ash Shonah, Avram was 100 years old, when Yitzchak was born. So there's a 14 year difference between Yitzchak and Yishmael. V'ksiv, and the pasuk further says, V'yitzchak ben shishim shanim b'lad esayson. Yitzchak was 60 years old when Yaakov and Esav were born. If Yitzchak was 60 years old when they were born, bar kama have Yishmael k'dis yalad Yaakov, how old was Yishmael when Yaakov was born? Bar shim v'arba, he must have been 74. Kama Paish Mishnei, how many years were left in Yishmael's life? Shita Natlas, 63. From 74 to 137. Vetanya. And we learned in a Braisa. Hoya Yaakovina B'shosh Nizbarach Mi'ovim Ben Shishin V'sholoshana. Yaakovina was 63 years old when the episode of him receiving the bracha from Yitzchak with Esau being an upset take place. Oboy B'perek, and that was the time Mesh Yishmael, that Yishmael died. How do we know? The Ksiv, V'yar Esav Kivarech, when Esav saw that Yaakov received the brachas, not he, V'yelech Esav El Yishmael, Yehoshua went to Yishmael, V'yikach Es Machlas Bas Yishmael, he took as a wife Machlas Bas Yishmael, Achos Nevoyus, who was a sister of Nevoyus. Ask the Gemara, V'mash Meshenem Bas Yishmael, if the Pasuk calls a Bas Yishmael, Eini Yodei Sheichos Nevoyus, isn't it obvious that she Nevoyus' sister? If Yishmael was a father and Navius was Yishmael's son, obviously Navius and Machlas were siblings. Why does the Pasuk have to mention Navius? Malamit Shekitshmi Yishmael Vemes. What happened was when they got engaged, when Esav and Machlas got engaged, Yishmael was still alive, and then he passed away. V'siyim Novius Achias. So when it came for the actual marriage, her father Yishmael was no longer alive. Her brother Novius married her off. And as the Mashal explains, when the Gemara here uses the terminology of Kedushin in the Suin, it doesn't mean it in the traditional sense of Kedushin and the Suin. Kedushin and the Suin are only applicable by Jews, and this was still before Matan Torah. Rather, what Kedushin and the Suin means, Kedushin means they got engaged, and the Suin means they got married. So now, Yaakov is Shita Mitlas. The Yaakov we established is 63 years old when he has to run away from his parents' home. Vabasa, he's fought Adam Slayer Joseph from when he met Rachel and married Leah and Rachel, and Yosef was ultimately born, took 14 years. So 14 plus 63 is 77. V'ksiv, the pasuk says, V'yosef ben shloshim shana b'amda l'fnei paroi. That means Yaakov was 77 when Yosef was born. Yosef is 30 years old when he's brought to paroi. So that means Yaakov is meiv v'shevim, 107. Shev the sova v'tati the kafna. Then there were 7 years of the good years and 2 years of hungry years in Mitzrayim. Hamei v'shitzer. So according to this, Yaakov should be 116 years old when he appears to Paroi. Yet, the pasuk says, v'ksif, v'yomer Paroi Yaakov kama yimei shnei chayecha. When Yaakov comes to Mitzrayim to meet Paroi, and Paroi asks him, how old are you? Yaakov answers, "V'yomer Yaakov al Paroi, Yemei Shnei Megurai Shloshim Mashana. I'm 130 years old." Ask the Gemara, but according to our calculation, Mei V'shitzen Haver, he was only 116 years old. El Shmamina, where are the missing 14 years? Abba Esr Shnin, there were 14 years. Davar Beis Aver, that he was in the yeshiva of Aver, and those 14 years lechashvelu haven't been counted. The Tanya, as the Brisa teaches us, Hoya Yaakov Beis Aver, Yaakov was in the yeshiva of Aver Mutman, hidden, sitting and learning, Abba Eseshnin. Aver Meis, and Aver passed away, L'yachash Yorid Yaakov Avinu L'ramarayim Shteshonim. 2 years after Yaakov left the yeshiva is when Aver passed away. Yotz Misham, Yaakov left the yeshiva, Vol L'anamarayim, Nimtzukish Amr Alaber, Ben Shivim Shevim Shana. So 63 is when he left his parents' home. He was in the yeshiva for 14 years. 14 plus 63 is 77. That's when the episode of getting to Rav Naraim begins, and that's why he's 130 when he's meeting Paran. Ask the Gemara, Umnolan Delay Manish, how do we know that Yaakov wasn't punished for those 14 years that he was in the yeshiva, only for the other years? The Tanya, Nimtza Yosef Shapirish Mi Aviv, Esr Mishtaim Shana. Yosef was separated from his father 22 years. Kishem Shapir Yaakov Avinu Mi'aviv. The amount of years that Yaakov was separated from his parents. Ask the Gemara, but according to the calculation that we just made, the Yaakov Tlosim V'shita Havin. Yaakov was separated from his parents 36 years. Alar Beis, the Havah Beis Aver, the 14 years that he was in the yeshiva of Aver, Lechashvelu are not counted years that he's punished for being separated from his parents. Ask the Gemara, Soif the base Lovin Esrin Shinin Haven. Yaakov was only in the home of Lovin for 20 years, 14 years that he was working for Leah and Rachel, plus another 6 years. Answers the Gemara, Elm Shum de Shtoiba Urchitatin Shinin. After he left Lovin's house, it still took him 2 years to get home. The Tanya, Yotzme Ram Naraim, he left Ram Naraim, Volo was Sukkos, Vasa Sham Shmana Sukhaidish, he was in Sukkos for 18 months. Shenemar, how do we know he was there for 18 months? Shenemar, v'yakoiv nasa sukaisai, v'yivin loibayis l'maknei asa sukais. So as the Mefarshim explain, in those days they used to have different homes for the summer and then for the winter. The winter home was called a bayis, a house, to protect them from the elements. A summer home was called a sukkah, a hut. It says sukais, lashon rabim. So he was there for 2 summers and 1 winter is 18 months. Or beis el, and in Beis El, also Shisha Chadashim, he was there for 6 months, Vikrav Zvachim, 18 plus 6 is 24, 2 years, together with the 20 years that he was by Lovin, equal 22 years. So there are many fundamental questions in trying to understand this Gemara. The first question that the Mefarshim ask is that Yaakov left his parents' home not at his own volition. His parents told him to run away because of Esav. So why is he being punished? So some Mefarshim say that the first 14 years that Yaakov was in the yeshiva of Aver, he wasn't punished for. After those 14 years ended, Esav had calmed down. So instead of turning to Aram Naraim, he should have gone back to be Mekayim Mitzvahs Kibur of Aim. The fact that he didn't go back to be Mekayim Mitzvahs Kibur of Aim at that point, that's why there is a issue with him. Another pshat is that, yes, Yaakov Avinu perhaps had his parents told him, go be Mekayim Mitzvahs Kibur of Aim and leave us. But at the end of the day, Yaakov Avinu was not Mekayim Mitzvahs Kibur of Aim all those years. And if we want our children to be Mekayim Mitzvahs Kibur of Aim, we have to be Mekayim Mitzvahs Kibur of Aim. The end of the day is that for 22 years, Yaakov Avinu was not Mekayim that mitzvah. And that's why his son was not Mekayim Mitzvahs Kibur of Aim for all those 22 years. Another pshat that I saw is that the first 14 years that Yaakov Avinu was in yeshiva, he wasn't punished. The next 14 years that he was in Aram Narayim, so to speak, working to get married, he also perhaps wouldn't have been punished for. But then there were another 8 years afterwards that he still didn't come back to his parents' home. Then he doesn't have an excuse. He's not learning. He's not getting married. Why didn't you come back? Obviously, again, we're speaking about Yaakov Avinu, so we have to be careful. Obviously, Mitzvahs Kibur of Aim was not that significant to you. And that's a proof that even on the original years that you were working for, when you were working for getting married, you really weren't concerned that much about Mitzvahs Kibur of Aim. There's a, as the Mefarshim explained it, during the week, we're busy. So if a person doesn't learn during the week, he perhaps has somewhat of an excuse saying, I didn't learn, I was busy working, etc. But what happens if that person comes Shabbos Yontif, when he doesn't have the excuse that he was working and still doesn't learn? That's a proof that when he wasn't learning during the week, it wasn't because he was busy. It's just because learning is not important. Here too, if he was Mekayim Mitzvahs Kibur of Aim those 8 years, it's a question on the previous 14. Ask the Chasam Sofer. Perhaps there are two periods of 14 years that the Gemara has identified. There's the 14 years during which Yaakov Avinu was learning, and the 14 years in which he was busy getting married and having the Shvatim. So why is the Gemara sure that Gadol Talmud Torah Yosef Mekibur of Aim, perhaps Gadol Purur Revu, perhaps getting married and having children is greater than Kibur of Aim, but not Talmud Torah? Answers the Chasam Sofer. To learn, one can only learn in a yeshiva. And if the yeshiva is not near his parents' home, then he has to go to the yeshiva where he wants to learn. Getting married, one can get married near his parents' home. So that's why it must be that the Talmud Torah is greater than Kibur of Aim, not Purur Revu. And in fact, the Trumas Hadeshin says that even though Kibur of Aim is such an important and great mitzvah, if one wants to go learn in the yeshiva and he's not able to go learn in the yeshiva because his parents don't want him to go learn in the yeshiva, it's far away, Gadol Talmud Torah Yosef Kibur of Aim, he should go learn in that yeshiva. And even if there are yeshivas in the location where he and his parents live, but he feels he can learn better in that yeshiva, or he can learn more from the Rabbeim in that yeshiva, he doesn't have to listen to his parents. Interestingly enough, that is only limited to Talmud Torah. The Paiskim even discussed that, let's say someone wants to go on a business trip, that he's doing it for Panasa, certainly a mitzvah, and his parents are concerned about letting him travel to such a place, there it's already not so obvious that he's allowed to go if it's against his parents' wishes. The Mefarshim also ask that we know that many times there's a discussion in the Paiskim, if what was the status of our Avos? Were they considered B'nai Noach, or were they considered B'nai Yisrael? If they were considered B'nai Noach, there's no mitzvah kibur of the aim on someone who by B'nai Noach. So why does the Gemara have an issue with Yaakov not being mekayim mitzvah kibur of aim? So one teretz I saw is that there's a question. We know the Goyim have Zion mitzvahs. Why isn't kibur of the aim included in the Zion mitzvahs B'nai Noach? So Farshim explained, because one can never be sure that his father is really his father. It's only based on Roif that one can be sure that his father is his father, which doesn't apply by Goyim. However, by Yaakov, there was no question that Yitzchak was certainly his father. The Torah tells us Yitzchak was his father, and therefore he was certainly Chayiv and Kibur of Aim, even if he had the status of Ben Noach. Reb Chaim Kanievsky, I saw, says a different answer. He quotes a Reb Nissim Goyim. The Rabbeinu Nissim Goyim says that a mitzvah that makes sense, even if it doesn't say in the Torah this mitzvah, one has to do. Kibur of Aim, even if one is not explicitly commanded to do Kibur of Aim, it's obviously the right and important thing to do. And that's why, even if he wasn't explicitly commanded, he should have done it. As we finish the Perek, and we're speaking about Gol Torah Torah, Yosem Kibur of Aim, certainly one should not belittle under any circumstances the importance of the mitzvah Kibur of Aim. I saw a very interesting story from Reb Chaim Kanievsky and his father, the stipler. Reb Chaim Kanievsky was once not feeling well, and his father, the stipler, came to visit him. As his father was about to leave, Reb Chaim Kanievsky asked his father, now where are you going? So he says, I have some galleys of a sefer that I wrote that I'm taking to the printer. So Reb Chaim Kanievsky just mentioned in passing that he also has some galleys that have to be delivered to the printer. So the stipler, not that Reb Chaim Kanievsky asked his father, but the stipler on his own volunteered to take those galleys to the printer. And that sefer, it's the sefer of Hasomer Chosov that Reb Chaim Kanievsky wrote in the Aruch HaShchaim, was not printed for many years. And Reb Chaim Kanievsky was once speaking with his father, usually his form come out very quickly, why this sefer didn't come out. He said, because even though you certainly didn't violate in any way the mitzvah kibur of aim, but still a son is supposed to attend his father, not the other way around, and you used me to take the galleys to the printer, that's why this sefer, which came out with we're dealing with tzaddikim, of a demotion, of diminution of the mitzvah kibur of aim, took so long to print. Hanulach Megillah Nekras, Hanulach Megillah Nekras, Hanulach Megillah Nekras. Teaches us the Mishnah. Hakaras Megillah Mafreya, if one reads the Megillah, whether it's a perek of the Megillah, or a pasuk of the Megillah, or a word of the Megillah, in the wrong order, out of sequence, lo yotza. The Bnei Yisoschar explains, Hakaras Megillah Mafreya, if one reads the Megillah lemafreya, as if it's something that happened many years ago, it has no relevance to us in our world today, lo yotza. He missed the point of Purim. Mechsalaz are along the same lines. It says, Hakaras Megillah Mafreya. Prayer means piron, to pay. If somebody reads the Megillah Mafreya as if he's paying off a debt, la yotza, person has to enjoy and be excited and enthusiastic as he approaches reading the Megillah. Karav peh, if he reads the Megillah by heart. Karav Targum, if he read it in Targum, or Bekolosh, or any language. The Mishnah, the Rishonim says, point out Targum, because Targum we think perhaps is considered a higher level, and maybe you could be yotz with Targum, so teaches us the Mishnah, you're not yotza. Avakarno, so the loyaz is balaz, someone, a foreigner, can hear the Megillah in a foreign language. The loyaz shashama ashuris, and a foreigner who heard the Megillah in Hebrew, yotza, he was mekayim the mitzvah. Machloikas Rishonim, the foreigner, who only understands a foreign language, what should he do l'chatchila? The Ritva says that l'chatchila he should hear the Megillah in Hebrew also. And even though the Mishnah uses the words yotza, which seems to say only b'di'eved, says the Ritva, no, certainly hearing the Megillah in Hebrew, even if you don't understand it, even if you don't understand Hebrew, is l'chatchila. The Ran disagrees, and the Ran holds that if someone only understands a foreign language, he should preferably hear the Megillah in that foreign language. However, certainly the Megillah has to be written in that foreign language, because if the Megillah is not written, it's Karal Peh. It's reading it by heart, which the Mishnah already taught us. If Megillah is read by heart, we're not Mekayim the Mitzvah. There's a number of Machloikis Rishonim in how to understand this halacha about reading the Megillah in a foreign language. There's Machloikis, Rashi, and Ramban. If one understands both Hebrew and a foreign language, can he be Mekayim the Mitzvah in a foreign language? Rashi seems to learn that he can be Mekayim the Mitzvah even if he understands it, even if he understands Hebrew, but if he understands the foreign language, he can Mekayim the Mitzvah. The Ramban disagrees. The Ramban says the only one that can Mekayim the Mitzvah in a foreign language is someone who only understands the foreign language and doesn't understand Hebrew. But if one understands Hebrew, he cannot be Mekayim the Mitzvah in a foreign language. And there's some that take the Ramban's position even a step further. They say that, let's say the Baal Kirei understands a foreign language and Lashon Kodesh. The listener only understands the foreign language. Since, according to Ramban, the Baal Kirei understands Lashon Kodesh, and if he understands Lashon HaKodesh, he can only read the Megillah in Lashon Kodesh, so he can't be Maitzi someone in a foreign language, because the foreign language is not a language for him to use for the Megillah. When the Megillah is written in a foreign language, there's also machloikis in what lettering should be written. Should it be written in Ashuris, Hebrew, the foreign language in Hebrew lettering? The Ramah seems to hold that it could be written in the foreign language's script. Also, the Ramah says that a Megillah cannot be made up as a combination of two distinct languages. The Mefarshim ask, why was the halacha of Hakayres and Megillah Lamafreya Loyot, that first thing that we learned in the Mishnah, not combined with all the other dinim that the Mishnah mentions? So Mefarshim point out, because by Karal Lamafreya, the halacha is that even if one word of the Megillah is read out of sequence, lo yotza. However, by the other halachas, kar al peh, or kar targum, if you read part of the Megillah by heart, we'll discuss the halachas in the perek, you sometimes are yotza. Another tzeretz that the Sfas Emes gives, he says, if one will first read the second half of the Megillah, and then he'll read the first half of the Megillah, so he has at least first half of the Megillah read, and now he only has to reread the second half of the Megillah. But on the other hand, Karal Peh, if he read what he's not supposed to read by heart, it makes no difference. The entire reading is disqualified, and he has to read over the entire Megillah. Kara Serugin, if one read the Megillah making stops, not read it continuously, or Mesnamnim, when he was half asleep, Yotza, he was Mekayim the Mitzvah. And we'll discuss this halacha more in the Gemara. Haya Kaisvay, if one was writing a Megillah, Darshay, or one was explaining the Megillah, or Magia, or one was correcting a Megillah, and as he's doing this, he's also reading the Megillah, Im Kivan Libay, if he had a mind to Mekayim the Mitzvah, Yotza, Mimlav La Yotza. So the Rishonim discuss, we know that throughout Shas there's a discussion if Mitzvah Tzrichas Kavana or not. If one has to have kavana to be Mekayim a Mitzvah, it seems from what we just learned in the Mishnah that you have to have kavana. That's how some explain. Others say that Kriyas Megillah is an exception to the general rule. That even though perhaps normally we don't have to have kavana for a Mitzvah, Kriyas Megillah we have to have kavana. And the explanation I give is based on something that we already learned. Since we learned Kriyasai Zuhilula, reading the Megillah is how we express our praise to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If we don't mean what we're saying, what kind of praise does that represent? Yet others say that certainly mitzvahs ain't tzrichas kavana, and we don't have to have kavana to read the Megillah, to mekayim the mitzvah. What's happening here is that in Kivan Liva means that he intends to read it properly. Because when one is reading the Megillah, just because he's writing it or correcting it, he may not be careful to pronounce the words properly. Not only may he not be careful, sometimes he reads them the way they're written, not the way they're pronounced. So if he was careful to pronounce the words properly, then he was yoytz the mitzvah. There are poskim that want to perhaps bring a raya from our Mishnah, that in Purim, one is allowed to do melacha. Because the Mishnah discusses how you kaisvay, that somebody's writing the Megillah on Purim. But Rabbi Kivega says there is no proof, because as we learned in the first Mishnah of Al Masechta, that certain people who lived in the villages are allowed to read the Megillah on Yom HaKnisa, on the Monday or Thursday before Purim. Certainly on those days they're allowed to do work, and that's what the Mishnah is referring to. Ask the Gemara, Menani Mili, from where do we know that if one read the Megillah out of sequence, he was not mekayim the mitzvah? Amarav, Amakra, the pasuk says, Kiksovam ukizmanam. Mazmanam lemafreya noy. You can't turn time backwards. Tomorrow can't be today. Today can't be tomorrow. Afksovam lemafreya lo, you should not read the Megillah backwards. Ask the Turi Evan, how can we compare these two situations? Obviously, time is something that we don't control. Tomorrow can't be today. Today can't be tomorrow. But the Megillah can be read backwards. So how does the Gemara comparing these two concepts? So the Turi Evan says what the Gemara means to say is not that we're comparing that today can't be tomorrow, tomorrow can't be today. Just like someone who's supposed to read the Megillah on the 15th of Adar may now read it on the 14th of Adar, and vice versa, someone who's supposed to read the Megillah on the 14th of Adar is not supposed to read it on the 15th of Adar. The same thing, the Megillah has to be read in the proper order. Ask the Gemara, Michtik Ksiva Hacha, is this pasuk referring to the reading of the Megillah? Asiyik Ksiva, this pasuk is referring to the celebrating Purim. The Ksiv, as the pasuk says, Liyos Oisim Eshnei Yomim. So we're speaking about the celebration of Purim. Elam Hacha. The proof is from this pasuk. Siv vayom eila niskarim v'nasa is iskish zechira l'asiya. The Torah compares the reading of the Megillah to the commemorating, celebrating mitzvahs Purim. Ma'asil mafreya loy. Just like I was explained, there are specific times when Purim should be celebrated. Av zechira l'mafreya loy. You have to read the Megillah in the proper order. Tana, and we learned in a brayse, became a halal. The same halacha applies by halal, became a krishma, but tefillah, the same halacha applies by krishma and tefillah. They have to be read in the proper order. Halal menolon, ask the one, how do we know the halal has to be read in the proper order? Rava amma, the ksiv, mizrach shemesh and mevoye. Just like the sun comes up and goes down in a proper order, so too halal has to be read in a proper order. And how we say this is the day? The day has a specific order. So too does Hallel. Rav Avya Omer, Yishem Hashem Mevorach. Hashem's name should be blessed. Hashem's name is written in a specific order. So too Hallel has to be in a specific order. And in fact, there are poskim that say that this is the basis for the halacha that a Sefer Torah can't be printed. It has to be written. Because the Shem Hashem, when it's printed, is not written necessarily in the proper order. Rav Nachman by Yitzchak Vitem, Rav Acha by Yaakov Om Mahacha, Me'ata Bara Oilam, from this time and forever, in the proper order. Krishma. How do you know that Krishma has to be read in the proper order? The Tanya, Krishma Kiksova. Krishma must be said in Lashon Kodesh as it's written in the Torah. Divrei Rebbe. It can be said in any language. My Talmud Rebbe, what's the basis for Rebbe's ruling that has to be only in Lashon Kodesh? Amakra for Hoya. Bavi Asun Yehei. It has to be the way they're written the Torah in Lashon Kodesh, so should they be pronounced. Rabbanamai Tamayu, what's the basis for the Rabbanan that it could be in any language? Amakra Shema. Bechol Lashon Shat Shema, in any language that you pronounce it, it's acceptable. Ask the Gemara of Rebbe Nami Oksiv Shema. Doesn't Rebbe agree the pasuk says Shema to teach us any language? Answers the Gemara, Hahumi Boilei, Rabbanan Rebbe holds Hashme, that pasuk Shema, the word Shema teaches us Hashme laoznecha, your ear should hear Mashatamaitz mipicha, what you pronounce. So the pasuk is teaching us that you have to say the words of Shema out loud to hear them. Rabbanan Savri, the Rabbanan hold, command Omar, HaKoreh Shema V'loi Yishmi La'oznoi, if somebody pronounced the Shema without hearing it, Yotza. But certainly, the halach is that one L'chatchila should hear the words of Shema as he's pronouncing them. In fact, they saw a very interesting Shaila from the Avni Nezer. Let's say one says the Shema at a certain volume, which normally, at that volume, he would be able to hear himself. But he's in a shul where there's a lot of noise, and because there's a lot of noise in the shul, he doesn't hear himself pronouncing the Shema at that volume. Should he strain himself to say the Shema louder? Says the Avni Nezer, that certainly the halacha is he has to strain himself to say the Shema louder under those circumstances. Hashme la'oznecha masha atamaitzi mipicha. Rabbanan Nami Hiksiva Hayu. Doesn't the pasuk say Hayu, which seems to indicate that Shema should be said in Hebrew? Says the Gemara, Hahumi Boile, that is needed to teach us the halacha, Shlo Yikul Mafreya, that the Shema should be not be said out of sequence. Ask the Gemara of Rebbe, Shlo Yikul Mafreya Menolei, from where does Rebbe know that the Shema is not allowed to be said out of sequence? Answer the Gemara, Midvarim Hadvarim. The pasuk could have just said the word Dvarim. It says the words Hadvarim, to teach us that it has to be said in sequence. Rabbanan Dvarim Hadvarim, Loi Mashmaluhu, they don't think that that's an extra letter to be used to teach us this thing. Ask the Gemara, Lem Kasava Rebbe, should we say that Rebbe holds, the Kal Torah Kula B'Kol Lashon Nemra, that usually the Torah is said in any language. This HaKadayitach B'Lashon HaKadosh Nemra, for if you will say that the Torah has to be normally said in Lashon HaKadosh, Lomli L'Makta V'Hayo, why does the Torah have to go out of the way to teach us a word V'Hayo? To teach us, according to Rebbe, that Kriyishma has to be said in Lashon HaKadosh, why should it be different than anything else in the Torah? So Rashi says, what does it mean that the whole Torah is said in Hebrew? What part of the Torah has to be said? So Rashi says that we're referring to Kriyas HaTorah. Kriyas HaTorah has to be in Lashon HaKodesh. Tosfos takes issue with that, because Tosfos says the obligation for Kriyas HaTorah is not a Chiyuv D'oraisa, that the Gemara should ask a question from it. That's why Tosfos says that the Gemara is referring to certain parashiyas that have to be said in Hebrew, like parashiyas Chalitza, Parshas Egla Rufa, Vidui Meiser, Bikurim, or Parshas Zochem. It's interesting that the Mefarshim point out that Tosfos omits mentioning Parshas Para, where there's a Shaila if Parshas Para, like Parshas Zochem, is the Chiv Dereis or not. Tosfos here doesn't include Parshas Para, and other Rishonim, however, do hold that Parshas Para is certainly a Chiv Dereis. So ask the Gemara, isn't this an indication that Rebbe says, the Rebbe holds that everything else can be said in any language? Answers the Gemara, Itzrach. No, Rebbe perhaps could hold that everything can be said in only in Lashon Kodesh. However, Salkadatach, we would think, since the Pasuk says Shema, and perhaps the proper interpretation of the word of Shema is Krabbonim, like the Rabbonim say, which say, they say that the word Shema teaches us that it can be said in any language. That's why Kasra Chmona, the Torah had to go out of the way and write the word V'hoyu. Ask the Gemara on the other hand, Lem Kasavu Rabbanan, should we say that the Rabbanan hold that Kala Torah Kula B'Lashi Kodesh Nemra, that usually Torah has to be said in Lashi Kodesh, because the Isal Kadaita B'Chol Lashi Nemra, if you're going to say that it can be said in any language, Lama L'Licht of Shema, why does the Torah have to go out of a way to teach that Shema can be said in any language? Why should it be different than anything else that's part of Torah? Answers the Gemara Itzrav. Salkadat Chamin of Ahayu Karebi. Perhaps the proper interpretation of Ahayu is like Rebbe said, that it should be in Lashon Kodesh, Kas Rachman Shema. That's why the Torah writes the word Shema, to teach us that it has, that it could be in any language. As far as the Halacha Lamais is concerned, Megillah, the Paiskim teach us, has to be read in the proper sequence. Even if one word of the Megillah is read out of sequence, we have to go back to that word and read it from its proper place and continue from there. Regarding tefillah, the halacha is that it has to be said in the proper order, but there's a following halacha. If one said anything of the first three brachas or anything of the last three brachas out of sequence, he has to go back either to the beginning of the first three brachas when it happened then, or to the beginning of the last three brachas when it happened then. If, however, he went out of sequence in the body of the Shulchan Aruch and the other brachas, so if he skipped, let's say he skipped a bracha, he has to go back to where he skipped and continue from there. But the brachas that he already said in the proper order, he does not have to repeat. Regarding Hallel, the halacha is that certainly in each paragraph of Hallel, if he said the brach, he said a word or pasuk out of sequence, he has to repeat it in proper sequence. But what is the halacha if he said each paragraph properly, but he did not say the paragraphs in the proper sequence? That is actually the subject of a machloikus rishonim. Some say that the sequence of the paragraphs is essential by Hallel. Others disagree. But they certainly also point out there is no difference on a day that we're saying the whole Hallel, or on days like we're only saying half Hallel, like Rosh Chodesh or Chol Hamoed Pesach. Regarding Krishma, the Poskim agree that in each paragraph of Krishma, every word and every pasuk has to be said in the proper sequence. And although the Gemara also gives an explanation for the sequence of the paragraphs that are said by Krishma, the halacha is that if one said each paragraph of the Krishma properly, he just didn't say it in the proper sequence, he's mekayim the mitzvah. Darach HaShulchan also asked the question that our Gemara is teaching us that the basis that Krishma has to be said in the proper sequence is because the Torah uses the word v'hayu, that has to be in the proper sequence. Ask the Gemara, that word v'hayu appears in the first paragraph of v'hafta, in the second paragraph of v'hayim shmoya, but it doesn't appear in the third paragraph of v'yomer. So is that, ask the Aruch HaShulchan, is the halacha of l'mafreya, that you're not mekayim the mitzvah Krishma when you read it out of sequence, also applicable to the third paragraph of a yoimer? Says the Aruch HaShulchan, since the yoimer is part of the recitation of Krishma, and by the first two paragraphs, as the Torah says v'hayu, to teach us that it has to be read in the proper sequence, therefore, even though in the paragraph of the yoimer it does not say the word v'hayu, to teach us it has to be said in the proper sequence, the halacha remains that it must be said in the proper sequence, and if one didn't say every pasuk and every word in the proper sequence, he must repeat. Regarding Birchas HaMazon, the Paiskim say that if the paragraphs or the words were not necessarily said in proper sequence, we don't have a limud that it's required, and one can be mekayim the mitzvah if what he said makes sense.